The views and opinions expressed in the following paid program do not necessarily represent those of staff, management, or advertisers with WBIG Radio.
Your radio dial is locked. On the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show. Go from loafing around in the garden to being a master of your yard splendor.
Hey, Mr. Gopher.
In the next half hour, you'll get the confidence you need to tackle those weekend projects with ease. You'll get information about proper methodology and the best materials available at a price you can afford. The Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show is brought to you in part by 844-DIRT. 844-DIRT, improved earth products. And now it's time for another show straight from the Gopher's Den.
Welcome to the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show. You're in the den with Zach and Mike, and today we're going to talk about one thing that your yard just can't go without.
What could that be, Zach? I mean, grass, water, trees, nutrients, or something that only a biologist would know?
Friends! Rodents! Quadrupeds! Lend me your ears!
Actually, Mike, it's animals. Today's show is going to be dedicated to providing all of nature's little creatures with a place to live in our yard. Because the benefits of these things are just outweigh, you know, the cost. I mean, even the nicest landscapes look totally sterile and dry if you don't see all these little critters and everything running around.
So what, are we going to build them apartment complex or something for all these little creatures?
Well, as a matter of fact, Mike, we are. But not all these animals actually share the same housing needs, so we're going to have to actually try to cater to each one of these animals' specific needs.
Yeah, see, that's where I think we're going to run into a problem. The cater to each animal's specific needs sounds like a lot of work. I think, what, next you're going to want to get them financing as well?
No, Mike. Matter of fact, many animal habitats can easily be built or purchased pre-built at our local resource partners. For instance, a simple birdhouse can be built to suit the needs of many different species of birds. And I'll tell you what, birds have some great benefits. Not only do they eat just tons of insects all around your yards, but they're key pollinators and even better at seed dispersals. In fact, many seeds actually will not germinate unless they pass through a bird's digestive system. And remember, when you're building this birdhouse, you don't want to build a birdhouse for a condor if you're looking to get some finches.
Yeah, exactly. A bird can only, you know, fit in a house if it can fit through its house, if it can fit through the hole. So we definitely don't want to be making birdhouses with like six inch holes.
No, you're probably going to attract some kind of buzzards or ravens.
What is a vulture, you know?
Undesirable bird.
Yeah, you'll have like vultures circling your house. So you definitely want to do some research on that before you make a birdhouse that'll fit those type of animals.
Definitely. Always look up their habitat. Another nice little creature to have around your yard are butterflies. And butterflies, are just key pollinators. They're the second largest group of pollinators next to bees. And to build them a house, they're actually just quite like birdhouses, except that instead of one large circular hole, there's these rows of vertical slats about a half inch wide. This allows these butterflies a place to go to actually avoid the birds.
Yeah, you don't want to put your birdhouse next to your butterfly house. Otherwise, you'll just have a bird feeder.
Good point, Mike.
Eat butterflies, so you want to definitely keep them away.
And remember, the largest threat to butterflies is the loss of habitat. So building a butterfly house is really a good thing all around.
Yeah, cool.
Now, the next good yard creature we're going to talk about are bats. Bats are an excellent yard companion because they're rarely seen, but yet they consume just a tremendous amount of bugs. And really, a bat house is just simple to construct. I mean, they're very similar to bird houses, except the perch is situated so that the bat can hang upside down.
Yeah, that's, you know what, I've actually got some bats that fly around my house. Right around dusk, we have these two bats that just flutter around, you know, just, you know, consuming insects. Every dusk, they're just out there flying around. They're really cool. And are bats actually considered animals then, too?
Yeah, they're actually mammals, and the world's smallest mammal is actually a bat. It's the bumblebee bat of Thailand, which weighs as small as 2 grams.
Wow.
The bats you're seeing are probably the common brown bat, which is actually one of the longest-lived mammals for its size, which can actually live up to 32 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. Now, the real benefit of bats is, in the wild, they're really important for agricultural plants such as bananas, breadfruit, mangoes, cashews, and figs, which all rely on bats for pollination and seed dispersal. In fact, tequila, which is produced from the agave plants, whose seed production actually drops to 1/3,000th of normal without having bats as pollinators.
Wow, so just think, you couldn't get tequila if it wasn't for bats.
Yeah, I mean, look at that.
You
need bats.
Just for that.
You need bats, agave, and the worm. Hey, the worm show. There we go.
Right, back
what
to the
worm
show.
What a tie-in.
Yeah, but I guess the the biggest question for me, Zach, would be about bats. Who's your favorite Batman?
Wow, that's a deep question, Mike. It's actually a tough toss-up between Michael Keaton and Christian Bale. They're just really both great actors, in my opinion.
Yeah, but what about the original Adam West?
You know, I find him hysterical in The Family Guy.
Yeah, I don't go for that.
You don't go for that. All right, well, another good garden creature to have roaming around your yard are toads.
Toads, because this is actually what we can't do without in our lungs.
I don't
always picture a toad as being what I can't do without.
No, are you kidding? Toads are a gardener's friend. They eat up all these insects at ground level all around your garden areas. And although they do sell toad houses, a simple pot tipped upside down and propped up is just a perfect house for a toad. They really don't require much. They'll hide under that pot during the heat of the day, and then they'll consume pretty much any bug that walks near that opening. Now, toads can eat a lot of insects. Like, a single toad can eat 3,000 insects in a month, many of which are too large for other predators, so that's a real benefit to having them. And just for a little Jeopardy question here, a group of toads is referred to as a knot, just in case anybody asks.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but I don't know how that'll... Yeah, only if I'm on Jeopardy will that pay off somehow for me. You know, and I'm no expert, but I do know that toads do not cause warts.
You know, Mike, that is true. They don't cause warts, but they do carry all kinds of diseases and will pee all over you if handled. So it's always a good idea to wash your hands after handling a toad.
Yeah, no one likes toad pee.
No. And if you can avoid it, just don't pick them up.
Yeah, then always wash your hands.
The last little buddy we want to have is squirrels. And giving squirrels a place to go to avoid predators like cats and dogs will really help to keep them around your yard. Now, it's recommended that if you feed squirrels, don't feed them real close to your house, because there's often times that they'll just invite themselves right on in.
Yeah, and you're a real big fan of squirrels, because I can't really think about any true advantage to squirrels. Why do we want to have them in our yard?
Well, you know, Mike, I just think they're really darn cute. You know, I got, as you know, I've had some stories of squirrels when I was at Aurora. In fact, now I have a semi-trained squirrel I lovingly call Fatty, who hangs out under the maple tree out front. And me and Fatty get along just great. He comes up and I feed him, and they're just cute little things, you know. You got to love them.
Yeah, I like that. I love that story about you at college feeding the squirrels gummy worms.
Yeah, they definitely had some health issues for that.
All right, well, we're going to have to take a break, so stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to hear secrets from the experts. I can't wait to hear that. So stay tuned for more of the Gopher's Den.
Trying to get your lawn and garden looking better? Ace Hardware has absolutely everything you need to get your job done right. Whether you're tackling a big project or a little one, we've got everything from fertilizers to sprinklers, garden tools, and more. And most importantly, helpful people that understand it all. We'll help you get it done right. Ace, the helpful place.
Visit DG Ace Hardware, the helpful place, in St. Charles on Main Street and in Aurora on New York Street.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
You're listening to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show, brought to you by 844 Dirt. If you have any questions or tips, or would like to be a guest expert on the show, send us an email at thegophersden@844dirt.com. That's thegophersden@844dirt.com. If we use your question on the air, we'll send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of the Gopher's Den. Well, let's get back to the den with the lovable little rodent himself.
844 Dirt is one of the largest residential mulch suppliers in the Fox Valley area, housing everything from Northwoods Mulch of Wisconsin to Alabama Bark Mulch from the Smoky Mountain region. 844 Dirt is the exclusive provider of the finest mulches found throughout the United States. 844 Dirt also carries the finest organic weed-free screened mushroom compost available. Our courteous, uniformed drivers deliver all these products right to your home. To see a full selection of the products we carry and to utilize our handy materials calculator, head to our website at 844dirt.com.
Your lawn is pleading with you. Listen up. It's more of the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show right now.
Welcome back to the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show. You're back with Zach and Mike, and today on Secrets from the Experts, I want to tell you a little information on a process known as hydroseeding.
Yeah, Zach, hydroseeding, for those of you who don't know, is when you're pulled alongside the road and you see them spraying out that
green slime
all over the side of the road, or, you know, usually hills or embankments. So that's definitely what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, hydroseeding, also sometimes called hydromulching, can help to establish a lush, healthy lawn or actually bring life back to a yard that's past its prime. Hydro seeding is the simple procedure of applying grass seed, fertilizer, hydro mulch, and water in one liquefied application. Now, various soil amendments and soil stabilizers may also be used in the mixture depending on the needs of the environment and the application.
Yeah, hydro seeding definitely has many advantages, Zach. Because this all takes place in a large tank with water, and they're in these hydro seeder tanks, there are agitators that mix everything up. So when you add the when you add the mulch and the seed and the different fertilizers or whatever you're using, this does a great job of mixing everything up into a nice consistent slurry.
Definitely gives you an even homogeneous mixture throughout the entire batch. And that's great because when you mix up like multiple seed varieties, it ensures that there's an even distribution when this is applied. Another great thing is that it allows you to custom blend these things to spec. Certain specifications call for more shade seed or more sun. It definitely gives you that opportunity.
Yeah, lots of commercial jobs have very specific specs that you need to follow of what they want to be applied through this hydro seeding. So that's one of the real
benefits
of being able to do this.
Yeah, another great benefit is when you combine the seed and the water in the initial agitation process, it actually pre-germinates that seed. And when applied along with that mulch product, it gives it a very nutrient-rich area for it to grow.
Yeah, it actually kind of, like you said, pre-germinates the seed.
Mm-hmm.
So in a normal process, you would lay the seed down and water it. Well, this actually is mixed with all the other products that are in there. And so that seed is just ready to start growing immediately.
Exactly.
As
it's germinated before it even gets to the soil.
Yeah, and there are two basic types of mulch that we're going to talk about that are used in this type of application. One is kind of a wood base mulch, which is pretty much some recycled
lumber products such as sawdust, wood byproducts.
Yeah, basically. Wood byproducts, and probably the most popular one is more like a paper product, like recycled newspapers.
Yeah, it's actually cellulose fibers, which are made from recycled newspapers and recycled corrugated cardboards and things like that. And they're actually the better of the two to use. They're a lot more efficient and cost-effective.
Yeah, absolutely. And they also take a dye really nice because what you see green is just a dye to kind of give it a look.
Yeah, and it also helps when you're applying this to know where you've been. And it gives you that instant green, actually almost started lawn look.
Yeah, it does. And it's a good point where you can kind of see the different layers because you have some color there. You're not just watering, you're spraying it, and it's a great guide.
Mm-hmm.
And when this stuff all mixes up, it's hard to explain, but the best way that I can explain it is, when you were a kid in school, and Zach would probably know all about this, if you go into the bathroom and you get that big wad of toilet paper and you wet it down, and when you wet that stuff down, when you throw that, it pretty much sticks or adheres to any surface. You ever done that, Zach?
So you were one of those kids that spit wads? I was the kid getting hit with those, Mike.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, that is a great analogy. It's the same type of process as that. The paper product gets wet and it sticks to anything. And in addition, during this agitation process, during steep embankments and certain slope areas, you can actually add a thing called a tackifier, which actually helps to make this stuff stick even better than it already does.
Yeah, and a tackifier is pretty much just, it's a glue.
Mm-hmm.
A glue.
It's a glue that you use along with that mulch to give it more
sticking
power. Yeah. And Mike's done a lot of hydro seeding, and I know he has a couple stories about what this tackifier is like up close.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I've been up close and personal with the tackifier. In large applications, this stuff comes in like 55-gallon drums. And the way that we would apply this to the blend would be measured it in 5-gallon buckets. And so we would lift it up into the batch and, I don't know, somehow in the translation of got mixed up. And when that stuff would fall, 3 of the 5 gallons would just cover me.
Lost in translation. English is tough for you, Mike. I can understand that. This stuff is it just almost like a glue you'd use to glue two pieces of paper together and mixed with water. And the overall effect really helps it reduce erosion, and that's the benefit of this. You can also add copolliners into a hydro seed mix, which these are kind of my area of expertise, more of a science level. These are polymers that actually can retain like 400% more water. In addition to this, gives it a great start. Gives it that initial burst of water, you got the initial nutrient, and you can also add fertilizer to these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And on large projects, this stuff, hydro seeding really makes the job really consistent in bulk. Is this used in residential applications? Yeah, a little bit, but this is mostly a commercial application, and it's that's usually its primary use.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, Mike, that in large areas, hydro seeding is very practical. But in the smaller areas of our yard, simply overseeding the area and top dressing with a high-quality mushroom compost, like the kind offered by 844 Dirt, is going to give you a great benefit. Our mushroom compost will help protect the seed during its early life and provide it with the nutrients necessary for it to grow. This will help you establish a happy, healthy lawn.
Yeah.
And you can see all our improved earth products online at 844dirt.com or just give us a call at 844-DIRT.
Well, Zach, we got to take a break, so I would say stay tuned, because when we come back to the Gopher's Den, we're going to answer the questions that you sent via email to the Gopher's Den at 844dirt.com. Stay tuned for more Gopher's Den.
Trying to get your lawn and garden looking better? Ace Hardware has absolutely everything you need to get your job done right. Whether you're tackling a big project or a little one, we've got everything from fertilizers to sprinklers, garden tools, and more. And most importantly, helpful people that understand it all. We'll help you get it done right. Ace, a helpful place.
Visit Ace in Aurora on Lake Street and Ace in Aurora on Galena Boulevard.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
You're listening to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show, brought to you by 844 Dirt. If you have any questions or tips, or would like to be a guest expert on the show, send us an email at thegophersden@844dirt.com. That's thegophersden@844dirt.com. If we use your question on the air, we'll send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of the Gopher's Den. Well, let's get back to the den with the lovable little rodent himself. Do you care for a lawn?
844-DIRT.
Tend to a garden?
844-DIRT.
Nurture plants?
844-DIRT.
With high-quality earth products such as topsoil, compost, mulch, and more, 844-DIRT can help you with your most earthly prospect.
844-DIRT can also accommodate small deliveries right to your home, staffed with courteous uniformed drivers.
844-DIRT.
Online, 844dirt.com provides a full product inventory as well as a materials calculator, so you'll see what you're getting and how much you will need.
Proudly serving the Fox Valley area with high-quality improved earth products since 1990. 844 Dirt is a name you can trust.
You're tuned into the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show. Make way in your noggin. Much more info is on its way.
Welcome back to the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show. Now's that time of the show we get to answer the questions that you sent to us at thegophersden@844dirt.com. And remember, if we answer your question on the air, we'll send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of 844 Dirt. But today, we also have a special guest in the audience today, and that's going to be Dana, Mike's daughter.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening to Gopher's Den.
Yeah, well, did you learn anything today, Dana, on our show?
Well, really all I learned today is about hydro seeding and how to sleep with your eyes open.
Well, yeah, that might actually help you in school later on, so that's good to know.
Yeah, technique for school, how to...
Technique for school. Well, thank you for coming today, Dana. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Zach.
So without further ado, let's get it on. Our first question today comes from...
Wow, where did that excitement come from, Zach?
I don't know. It's,
you've been dogging this program since the beginning. Now, let's get it on!
I'm bundled up. Our first question comes from Dave in Aurora. Dave asks, I have mushrooms growing in my yard and mulch. What should I do? Well, if the mushrooms are unsightly to you, you can simply remove them. But be sure to wash your hands, as many mushrooms are poisonous and could make you very sick. But as far as your lawn is concerned, you're doing a great job. Mushrooms only grow in a very fertile soil. And the reason they're growing has more to do with a series of climatic conditions that provide them with the proper environment in which to grow. Things like heavy rains, high heat and humidity can cause these mushrooms to appear overnight. Now, just remember, if you do remove them, be safe.
Yeah, because I know this.
From experience.
From experience. Never eat any mushrooms out of your yard or in the forest, because misidentification of mushrooms can be lethal.
Yeah, we've got 9-1 dialed on the phone every time we go out in the woods with Mike.
Just hit the one and push down.
Exactly. Now, Mike, let's take another question here. This one is actually coming from Beth in Oswego. Beth writes, I've got some type of, you know what, I don't even know what to call it, but it looks disgusting, and it's growing in my mulch. What is this stuff, and how do I get rid of it?
Hey, what do we look like? Ministers of information? How do we know?
I'm going to connect to the psychic line here and take a wild stab that this stuff is actually a slime mold, often referred to as, now get this, Mike, this is a good name.
Dog puke mold?
Dog puke slime mold. You knew it. You knew it ahead of time.
Yeah, I did. You know, that's the way
I
roll.
You know the genius in species? Flugio septica. Okay, I'll correct you on that. Thank you.
Wow. Flugio septica?
Septica, yeah. It actually belongs to the phylum Myxomycota in the kingdom Protista. Just to be a little specific.
Hey, thanks. I'll remember that for like 3 seconds.
And Beth, unfortunately, there's really nothing that you can do about slime molds with the exception of physical removal. But, you know, don't worry. Besides looking particularly nasty, these things aren't going to hurt you in any way.
Yeah, and what I do with those, and we actually this question has come up before. That's kind of how I knew some of the information on that. But the way I deal with this is I just kind of scoop it up, you know, carefully, stick it in a bag, and then throw it in the garbage.
Yeah, that's a good way to handle
because
it.
Because some of these are kind of spore-bearing.
Not that they can hurt you, but it's always better not to.
Yeah, who wants to breathe that stuff in? So that's why I'm always really careful with this slime, you know, slime or dog puke mold, whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting that the mushrooms, with the humidity and the lots of water, you know, it almost seems like these two are really common in the same, you know, in that same environment, weather
exactly.
environment.
It's actually, like we said before, the climatic conditions that cause these things to go. Heavy rain, followed by high heat and humidity, just provides the environment for these things. They're found in every kind of mulch, and even along the forest floor. If you were to walk into the forest, you know, during this time, you would see the same stuff growing on the floor.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, there's some prevention techniques. Good aeration for your soil will help to eliminate that because you're actually cooling the you know, the temperature of the mulch down. That'll help lower the spore count. But
when you're doing some maintenance on it,
when you're
just
doing some maintenance,
turning
the
mulch
that,
over.
Otherwise, just you know, try to look past it. And as Mike said, you can gather up the stuff and remove it if it really bothers you.
Right.
Well, let's take another question here. This one actually didn't come with a name. I have an email address, but we'll send you something. The question was, there are 3 numbers on a bag of fertilizer. What do they mean? And he actually referenced the specific numbers, 33, 3, and 0, on the front of his bag of fertilizer.
Well, Zach, I'm going to let you answer that question.
Oh, you don't want to take this one?
No, I'll let you handle that.
All right. Well, let's talk about each number separately because they're really all important. Now, the first number, 33, refers to the percentage of nitrogen in that bag. Nitrogen is, as we know, important for plant growth. Signs of nitrogen deficiency may include just a pale green or yellow leaves in the grass or just slow growth. Plants take up nitrogen in the form of nitrate, and that's, you know, what it's used for. It's
right.
It's the actual fertilizer part of the chemical.
Right. It's that starter, that instant energy for the plant.
Exactly. The second number, which was 3 in this case, represents the number of phosphorus in the fertilizer. Now, phosphorus is necessary for root growth and is particularly important for the establishment of new lawns. It really helps the new seed needs phosphorus to grow initially. It's a great addition to starter fertilizers, but as more of a maintenance fertilizer, you need less and less of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's most common nutrient because it can actually cause excessive growth of like algae and weeds along rivers. So you want to make sure that if you live near a creek or stream or anything, to leave a buffer zone between your application and the river. That'll definitely help greatly reduce that, the runoff.
Yeah. And what does a 0 mean?
The last number represents the percentage of potash or potassium. Potash really helps in the water transfer, disease resistance, and kind of the winter hardiness. It's less of used. The highest number you want there is usually a 9.
Right, because we get 33, 3, and 0. That doesn't add up to 100, so where's the rest of the stuff coming from?
Now, a lot of these things in the bag are actually micronutrients, or they're inert ingredients that are actually added to just carry the other products to their destination.
For kind of delivery system.
Yeah, kind of just a delivery system for that.
Well, cool. We'll send you out a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Well, next, Mike, is the Gopher's Tip of the Week.
Wow, can't wait.
Yeah, what the Gopher has to say today, let's listen to it from the little fuzzy little rodent himself. Wow. He said that some seasonal stinging pests are a nuisance right now, but some of these creatures, such as wasps, are better dealt with when the night starts to fall and temperatures are cooler. Wasps and bees tend to head towards their nest at night, which is a perfect time to lay waste to their nest with a highly concentrated foam insecticide. The foam and cool air greatly limit their ability to fly after you. So now there's only one question. Do you feel lucky, wasps? Do ya?
Wow. I guess the Gopher's got something against wasps. Well, we'll leave that to... That's some issues for him to deal with. But hey, thanks for listening to Gopher's Den. Bye now.